Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mathis Media Hub. Welcome to radio, magazine, videos, and much more. Oh my! So sit back, relax, and be entertained. Call into the show at 347-327-9451 to speak with the host, Joanne Mathis. If you're interested in a professional voiceover or hosting a show on Mathis Media Hub, call 908-328-7014 and speak with Joanne. Now, on to the show, and let's meet today's guest.
Well, hello, and welcome to Mathis Media Hub Radio. Boy, if I've got someone exciting for you today. He has a new album out called Heart on Fire, and I'm talking about Alex Gershman. He's bass guitar and band leader of Sasha's Block, and they're very hot. So I'm going to bring him right on. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. You know, I listened to some of your tunes, Sasha's Block, and I was like, how did these guys get started? How did you get together? I mean, you're so versatile, so tell me about it.
You know, we really started 2.5 years ago, and I had an idea of revitalizing and playing the jazz of the early 20th century, basically 1920s, 1930s. I really fell in love with this music early on when I was really young. I went to the concert, one of the Preservation Hall concerts, and I saw this incredible musicians playing absolutely fantastic music. And I really wanted to really capture that period, and I got together with some of the musicians, and it started really as a home project. We were doing some covers and started playing the clubs, but it really rapidly grew into a fairly large band with incredible musicians, and I started writing my own music, and it just took off.
Wow. Now, where did you start? I know you were born in Russia, right?
Yes, I was born in Moscow, and
Moscow.
Actually the concert that I was saying that I went to when I was really young, I think I was like 13 years old, my brother took me to that concert, and it was in Russia, and it was really stunning at that time because it was really a communistic Russia, and we haven't seen a lot of jazz performances then, but it was absolutely incredible, and that really made a huge impression on me.
Wow. And, you know, I'm looking at titles of your songs, and you're dead, like Lonely Day in Paris, you're dedicated to Frank Sinatra. So you were like a Sinatra fan also.
You know, the story behind this particular song is very interesting. When I lived in Russia, and it was pretty much sequestered, we weren't able to travel. We weren't able to get outside the country at that time. And I had a friend of mine, we used to do these long walks and thinking in our heads how nice it would be to be in Paris. And everything we knew about Paris was just in books or stories or some people who went to Paris and came back and told us, because we really didn't know anything except for some French movies or French literature. And
right.
We were kind of closing our eyes and imagining ourselves in Paris. So we had all these stories about us doing like walking Champs-Élysées, or we walking in the rain in Paris. And so it created this really theme that I was thinking about for a long time to capture in some ways in art and then in music. So when the time came and I wanted to write a Sinatra tune, I thought about Paris, and that's how this actually tune came about.
Wow.
The Lonely Day in Paris, it's all about being in Paris and being in this romantic environment. And, you know, Frank Sinatra's style felt very, very good with that, because you know about this really rich brass section and sort of a presence things. And Paris is a great new city, so that's how actually it came about. And then I actually called Frank Sinatra Jr., Frank's son, who is a friend of mine, and I said to him, I just wrote that tune, and he listened and said, oh, it's great, it's fantastic, and that's how it's really made it to the CD.
Wow, that's fantastic. So tell me now, how did you decide on who was going to be in your band? I mean, you have a lot of versatile musicians and performers. And how did you get that together?
You know, it didn't happen overnight. We started as a small group of four people, just with the rhythm section, and some of them. You know, when we started the band, it was very important to me that musicians in the group will appreciate and like the style of music that we're playing, because, as you know, jazz has a lot of different components. It can be a fusion.
That's right.
It can be smooth jazz. It can be jazz rock. And, you know, mm-hmm. and modern musicians in general, if you actually go to the clubs in L.A., most of the clubs would play some sort of transitional jazz. It would be the fusion jazz or smooth jazz or some more hard sort of avant-garde sounds. When I started writing my music, it really felt very classical. You know, it's like a classic jazz of 20s and 30s with an absolutely traditional features in it. So I think it was in the beginning when we started the process, it was a group of guys, and then some of them really didn't feel or didn't really understand what I was trying to do, and they were a little concerned that we are outdated in a way that people will not be interested in the music of that era. They felt that mm-hmm. it's long gone, and so they kind of left. And it's interesting, when we started playing in the clubs, the audience actually responded amazingly. We got so many people. The clubs were really filled. All of our shows were sold out from the very beginning, surprisingly.
Wow.
And people were coming to us saying, oh, my gosh, we've been waiting for somebody to come and play this music because we missed it so much. And so it kind of gave the directions of people that really liked to play this music at first.
Right.
So we had a group of musicians. We started to add more horns because we wanted to bring this brass sound to the band. So we started with a saxophone player, etc. And so so people changed. And then really a year and a half ago, a year when we started playing really big clubs, we got really fortunate. We got an amazing group of guys. The players that are playing in the band right now are really first-class jazz musicians. We have Alex Budman on clarinet and baritone saxophone. He's one of the top musicians in a big band. Eric, he has his own big band. We have Brendan Fields, who is, in my view, is one of the number one saxophone players in the world. We have Kai Palmer, that had been on the CBS Letterman show for years and then played all over the world with different musicians. He's an incredible trumpet player. And then we have Bob McChesney on trombone, who is considered to be one of the best jazz trombonists in the world. So that's the caliber of musicians that are playing with us right now. One is better than the other. And we have Andy Langham on piano, who is, I mean, we're basically talking about the top tier of musicians in the world.
Right.
They're incredible. They became part of the band. We used to bring different musicians and you know, almost for the last year, the group didn't change. This is the same eight guys that playing together pretty much as a core group, and then singers a different story.
What about your singers?
That's a group on its own. The CD that we're talking about, this Heart and Fire, we recorded in September, and I brought an incredible singer. Her name is Jane Monheit. Monheit is a 2 Grammy nominated singer from New York, and in my view, she's one of the best jazz singers in the world. And of course, it's a matter of taste, but it's been accepted for years that she's a very special singer. So I sent her the materials sometimes last summer. And sang her some of my old CD, because it's our third CD. And she liked it, and she responded and decided to record with us. And we recorded the CD with her in September. She recorded 4 songs. And we just had a great, great time together. She's one of the singers. And she had 4 songs recorded on the CD. Then we had Alvin Chia. Alvin is the one of the founding members of a very famous group called Take Six.
Take
Six is a 10 Grammy winner group. It's an a cappella group that actually just going on a tour with Manhattan Transfer. Alvin is a good friend of mine, and we've been looking at different ways of collaborating, and he really liked the material, and he recorded with us, especially one song on this CD is called Black and Blue.
Oh, I love that song.
He really, I thought, did an incredible job together with Glynis LaFleur, another singer that we had.
Right.
And Alvin is an icon in some ways. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time, and he's been touring all over the world with Take Six. So that's that was him. And then we had Patrick Tuzzolino, who is a has been around for a long time. He did a lot of touring and Vegas gigs. He's a great, great singer, and he's really in love with Sinatra, and he's the one who recorded the Sinatra tune, the Lonely Day in Paris, and I think he did a great job, too. I mean, he has really a lot of charisma, a lot of character in his voice. So that's him. And then we have our singer that really has been working with us for the last year. Her name is Nora Rothman. She's a young woman. She's an actress and a singer, and she has a great depth. And then she recorded two songs. So we had quite a big group, as well as we had some fantastic back singers that recorded. So we had a total of seven singers.
You have how many?
Seven.
Seven. Okay. You know, I'm thinking to myself, wow, what an ensemble! What a group that you have. You don't find a lot of groups, band ensembles that have such star power. It's just incredible. I think it's great. But you know, something else I wanted to ask you was music. Your love when you were growing up, or did you just happen into it?
I really loved music from the beginning. Actually, my mother told me that I started singing first, and I started talking.
Really?
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but apparently that's in my case. And I really, through my whole life, I've been writing music and playing music in different shapes and forms. I don't know if you know, but by profession, I'm a doctor. I'm not a professional musician.
That's right, because I was reading, that was going to be my next question, and I was saying to myself, now how did he transfer from being a doctor to music? How'd you make,
I grew up in the family of doctors. All my parents, my brother was doctors, and it was very natural for me, and I really liked and loved what I do in medicine. But I always played. I always wrote music, and I always played in groups when I was in medical school and after the medical school. I never really did it in a serious way that I'm doing it right now. This is by far probably the most exciting time in my life in terms of dedication to music. But I noticed that a lot of doctors do different things. You know, I think maybe because of the pressure that we have during work, and just maybe just because we give up so much of the energy to other people. I think that a lot of doctors do have some hobbies or do have some other outlets that they recharge in some ways. So when I started playing music, and in my hospital, I work at Cedars-Sinai, every time we have lunch with a lot of physicians, everybody started to coming out of the closet and says, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm also playing it a little bit. Oh, I'm doing this too. Oh, yeah, I'm painting, I'm doing this. And so everybody was like looking at me now in a way. So, you know, I was able to bring my love to a certain way that I can actually share it with other people. And I think it sort of opened up almost like a confessions on their side to tell me about their secret things, what they would love to do, what they would like try to achieve outside the medicine. So I found it's very interesting and fascinating how we don't recognize sometimes people's desire to do other things rather than what they do in the daily things. So for me, it was very natural because I played in the medical school, and then I played after. But In the States, when I moved to the United States, I was very busy with research, and I was doing robotic surgery research and then operating all over the world. So I was really first 10 years of my life here, I didn't have enough time to dedicate to music. But, you know, recently I've been having such a great time combining both. I'm still very active in medicine, but my other activities is all about music and writing and you know, and producing.
And you know what? I like the fact that you said that doctors, you know, need an outlet, because that makes sense. So I'm saying, oh, yeah, okay, so this is your outlet and this is the way to do it. So it's, and plus the fact that it does flow into, you have to be creative in some aspect to be a doctor, am I right?
I think so, especially what I do surgeries, and we do actually complicated robotic surgery. So I think it's very creative. And if you're not creative, if you don't find this quick solutions to problems of being really, you know, aggressive in what you're doing, I mean, I don't think you can do good surgery. So it's a very creative job. But
that's
also
right.
Remember, medicine is in many ways one-directional. So the most joy that we have is when the patients get better. That's really the ultimate sort of goal and satisfaction of any surgeon, when you take somebody who is sick and then make them feel better. Other than that, it's a one-directional street. It's the patients that have problems and the doctors who have to give comfort. There's very few backwards emotional things when patients will give positive energy to the doctor. It's usually one directional street. So we have to have patients, and patients have to get better. And the joy is just to see the patients get better. So a lot of doctors, I think, emotionally always looking for some positive reinforcements in terms of what they're doing. And I think any kind of art possibly helps. I think it definitely helps me in many different ways to feel positive things, etc. So that's one of the things to wait to think about the doctors getting into this sort of habits of finding some other outlets for themselves.
I love it. I absolutely love it. We're going to go for a commercial break, and we'll be back with Alex Gershman. Well, I should say Dr. Alex. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yes. Here is a well-documented fact. Humans spend approximately 33% of life in bed. That's a good reason to consider bringing your bed into the 21st century with Function All Linens. They'll change your bedtime forever. Designed for every kind of bedtime you can imagine, these fun and functional bed sheets have his and her side pockets that hold pretty much everything but the kitchen sink. The pockets allow you to have your cell phone, iPad, remotes, and anything else you need within your fingertips reach at all times. No more cluttered nightstands. No more fumbling around in the dark. Simply reach for your pocket. Experience the affordable comfort and pure luxury that only Function All Linens can offer. For more information or to order, visit functionall-linens.com or beddazzle.com.
All right, we're back. You know, I was very very encouraged by what you were saying about being a doctor, being a musician, because that all goes to say that you can do anything you set your mind to in this life.
I agree.
And I think you're proof of it. Yeah, I love that.
A lot of people, when I started playing in the band, could not really believe that we will be able to achieve the quality that we are of the music that we're playing right now. Because when I go on stage in the clubs, I'm a musician. You know, I don't relay myself to a doctor who's playing music. I'm really fully engaged in music, and I want us and I want the band always to sound professionally fantastic, captivating people, and that's what I think we've been able to accomplish in a fairly short period of time. We've been on stage, for like 2 years, but Right now, we did a series of concerts with Jane Monheit, and we released the CD. So we had two concerts at Vibrato, and two concerts at Catalina Bar and Grill, which are big, famous clubs. And they were packed with people, who heard about us, who came from different parts of town, and some of them came from out of town. And the reaction and the response were amazing. People were saying things like they've never heard anything like this. This was the best show. And I'm not saying that that's what everybody, maybe some people didn't like it, I don't know. But my overall impression was just incredible acceptance of the music. Everybody loved the songs. I mean, and of course it was very encouraging for me. And it felt like we're on the right track in terms of the reaching out to people and making them to sort of accept this music and liking it. And so I was really, really pleased.
And it feels fantastic to be validated, doesn't it? I mean, that must have been something, you know, the reaction that you got for something that you put your hard work into. I think that's really great. But, you know, I want to talk about Heart on Fire, because that album came out, I believe, March 17th was your debut for that album?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit more about it. It says here that this was a ballad. This ballad is about passionate love and life that is empty without somebody you care for. So there's a little romance going on here, Alex. I like that.
It's true. The whole album was basically designed to bring some fresh sound to a very great jazz era when jazz really was very significant. And most of the songs, there's 11 songs on this album, most of the songs are in that era style of 1920s and 1930s with a big grandiose sound of tuba and saxophones and banjo and great vocal arrangements. So I think that the great thing about this album is that it's really, I think, tastefully done, in my view. And the songs are different. They're from very Dixie, New Orleans-style Breakfast, where Jane Monheit is really bringing that style into the very forefront of the CD. And then the song that you just mentioned, the song that's Heart on Fire, which is actually I wrote specifically having in mind Jane, because Jane is very famous for ballads. And Heart on Fire is the song about love. It's a song about life empty without love. And it's really about the deep, true feelings of finding somebody who really cares and who you really care to. And I think she did a fantastic job. This is one of my favorite songs in the album, actually.
I loved it. I listened to it. And I want everyone to listen to it now, Alex. So I'm going to play the song, and we'll talk about it when we come on the other side of it. Hold on.
Sure.
I knew life was over without you and your smile. Regrets growing older in my heart. I wish moon was brighter, a stars would fill the skies. I see all the magic in your eyes. Oh,
absolutely beautiful. Oh, absolutely. And so, now you wrote this.
Yes, I wrote all the songs on the album.
All the songs. Wow. And what puts you in the mood to write something like that, Alex? I mean, it's, a nice sound. It's a. Do you write according to mood?
You know, the lyrics of all the songs has some meaning for me in different shape and forms, and I always try to write about my feelings. Heart on Fire was sort of my emotional condition and state at that time. I felt talking about love and feelings and acceptance and sharing. And that's how it came out. All the songs have some form of belonging or thoughts that I have. Breakfast, for example, is about enjoying life as you go through it and not to forget to enjoy every moment of it. And Anything Is Possible is about, you know, nobody should tell you what to do. You should basically be assertive and really believe in yourself. So every song has some sort of a message for me in terms of my perception of living, my perception of life and people. So I try not to write songs just about the blue skies. You know, I'm just trying to say something meaningful that really dear to me. Whether other people share this with me or not, that's a different story. But every song on this album has some personal touch on my end.
And I also think that it has a personal touch to people who listen to it, you know, because of its variety. It's not like one thing with one thread going through it. People have different moods, you know, and different states of mind. And I'm sure each one of these songs touch that in some way. So you have a fantastic album going on here, Dr. Alex Gershman. I think you are fantastic. I think Sasha's block is fantastic. I wish you all the best, not that you need it. And you're going to go a long, long way with this. So kudos to
you.
Thank
you so much for the kind words that you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. So if you go to Sasha.com, that's your website. And
correct.
We can find you on Apple iTunes and SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So please get the album. It is absolutely wonderful. You can just sit with a glass of wine or with your sweetheart or whatever. You know, if you're in a jazzy mood. So it's got a little bit of something for everybody. So there you go. Thank you, Alex Gershman, Sasha Block.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And take care.
Thank you, and take care. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that does it for us for Alex Gershman of Sasha Block. As I said, go to sashablock.com and check out the website. They're on Apple iTunes. Their new album, Heart of Fire, Sasha's Block, is out. So please get the album. You will certainly, certainly enjoy it. Thank you for listening to Mathis Media Hub Radio. Take care.